I had someone send me an email, forwarded me an email from Ginny, and it was so professional, like professional to the level where I had to call her and be like, that was the most professional sounding email. She's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. I was like,
Appreciate it. It's my job.
no, but it's like, it's weird to see
Yeah.
people do their jobs
It
when
is.
you've known them for so long.
Yeah, and you've
I mean,
seen like you've
you've
seen the other
seen things.
side.
Well, I mean, I guess that's why Jesus said you can't be a prophet in your own hometown, because these
Yeah.
people just don't take you seriously.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina Shaver. I'm the pastor at St. Paul United Methodist Church. I am a woman who is really into, but not as much as she wants to be, because money, really into things like clothes, really into have my kids. I have two kids. I have a great husband named Jonathan, who is an electrical engineer, and he works for the Air Force Research Lab, which has led to a lot of fun discussions between a pastor and an electrical engineer who works on weapons. And like, it is fascinating. And I live in Gulf Breeze, Florida. I've been the pastor at St. Paul for six, almost 7 years now, which is crazy. And I use the pronouns she, her.
I can do
I
it. I got
do.
this. I'm a
Okay.
very good reader.
Okay. I know you are. It's one of the things I love most about you.
Oh, thanks. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Those who have sinned outside the law will also die outside the law. And those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. It isn't the ones who hear the law who are righteous in God's eyes. It is the ones who do what the law says who will be treated as righteous. Gentiles don't have the law, but when they instinctively do what the law requires, they are a law in themselves, though they don't have the law. They show the proof of the law written on their hearts, and their consciences affirm it. Their conflicting thoughts will accuse them or even make a defense for them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the hidden truth about human beings through Christ.
Paul,
Paul.
way to freak people out. So, what does this mean? It means that at some point, like, we will be quote unquote judged, which we don't like that word, right? That's like a hard word for us to hear, by our actions and our words and our thoughts. And that God, you can't hide any of that from God. But I think it's also saying, you'll be like, we're not going to be judged like blanketly. There's no one standard, right? Like, God is going to see your life and know what you know and judged you based on like everything that is in your life, not just like, it's not going to be an isolated thing, you know? Which, you know, is a little more, actually a little more comforting than when you first start thinking about judgment and
Right.
things like that.
Right. Like,
So,
well, I have screwed up a lot. So,
not
not great. Right.
great, not great.
You know, it's also what it says about like those who aren't under the law, but like who do it anyway. Right. They're good to go. I think about this beautiful image that C.S. Lewis uses in the end of the Chronicles of Narnia. And I tried to look for it, but I have, I just have all of them together. I don't know which where it is. But it's the guy who's not from the like religion of Aslan, right? He's like an outsider. But he is like invited in. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like part of the other team. Mm-hmm. And Aslan, who's like this metaphor for God, is like, oh, no, no, no. He has like followed in my way. And anytime mm-hmm. somebody follows in my way, they are a part of me.
Yeah.
And I find tremendous comfort in that, right? Because I think often this narrative gets told of like, well, no, you're going to hell for sure because like you don't know Jesus. But like, mm-hmm. do you know the way of Jesus? Because
mm-hmm.
that's an important way. Following the way of Jesus is ultimately the best thing we can do. And I believe our behaviors become our beliefs.
Yes. Well, and I think there's also this idea that if you, and sort of talking about the difference between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And, you know, there was this idea that the Jewish people were a chosen people. And that was a very, like, they didn't want like a lot of other people to become a part of that. Right. Because they didn't want for, and I don't want to say anything that people are going to be like, you know, like getting mad at me about, but like they didn't want for their culture to become infiltrated with a lot of different ideas and beliefs. And I totally understand that. But Jesus was saying that there are people who might know the way of me without have been in totally completely influenced by the culture in which they grew up in, who may not know the story of Moses, who may not know how the law was given, but yet they know that to follow God is to love your neighbor, to love yourself, and to follow the word of God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and to do that to the best of their ability. And so even if they didn't grow up knowing that, even if they weren't, you know, if they weren't circumcised or they weren't this or this, they could still follow God, because there is this idea that your will and God's will can become one if you decide to follow God, and that your will, if you are obedient enough to God, and if you pray, and I think if you study, my thing is like, the more you study, the more you pray, the more you really think about God, then your will just becomes consumed by God's will. And there's a lot of different paths to that. So I don't know. I think that Paul was saying that there are different ways, different experiences can bring you to God, and it can't just be one experience.
Yeah. Well, and I think he's addressing that there's a lot of argument, right, in this time about like, well, no, who's in and who's out. And he's like, look, if you are like doing things that are outside of like what ushers in the kingdom of God, like you're doing the wrong thing. If you are doing things inside of what ushers people into the kingdom of God, well, then that's the right thing, you know? And I think we make it so complicated, and it is complicated, right? There are complexities and there are theological kind of complexities to everything, but at the same time, it is simple.
Yeah. And I think it's like, for me as a Christian, I need to see every single person, whether I like them, I love them, or I can't stand them, that they are a child of God. They are a child of God. And I need to be able to see them in that way and help them as God has helped me. And also as I've been so blessed with the amount of love and support that I have received in my life, like extremely blessed with that. And not everyone has that. So I need to try and be that for other people. And like, it's just sometimes because we haven't had those experiences, we may act in a different way. It's the same way we have different standards for children based on how old they are.
Yeah.
Like George is really into like when he's done eating, he's going to throw his spoon on the ground. And I'm like, stop doing that.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, please don't do that. But I don't get super mad at him, right? Whereas if James did that, I would be like, go to your room, like unacceptable behavior. It's because he's six and George is three. So of course I would have different ideas for how they should respond. Just like people based on their own experiences are going to respond to the same event in different ways, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk a lot about how like the people who need love the most ask for it in the most unloving ways, because it's not been modeled to them and it's not been given to them. And mm-hmm. so they know they need it, but they don't know mm-hmm. how to get it. And yes. they know the things that have worked to get them the attention they need. And so they do that. Yes. And people talk about like, oh, they're just seeking attention. Like, well, yeah. Oftentimes, like when we talk about attention seeking behaviors, we're not saying like, oh, they're just looking for attention. We're saying like they have a need and mm-hmm. they are trying to get us to notice that need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if I can keep that perspective, not only for my kids, but also, which maybe is the hardest, right? Because like I'm with them every day.
Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh.
Even though like, yeah. I know, right? Like they are good kids. Mm-hmm. They just like sometimes have a hard time. But if I can keep that perspective, not just for my kids, but also for the jerk I encounter at the grocery store, like it goes a long way, right? Like yeah. that guy's being a jerk probably because something bad's happened in his life or something bad has happened before, or, you know, there's something going on.
Or they could just be a jerk. They
well, you know, fair enough. Jerk. That's true.
But I also feel like that doesn't mean as that we have to respond in the same manner. Like we're not called to be a reactive people. We're called to be people that in every opportunity can share God's grace and mercy. And there's nothing more infuriating to people who are acting like jerks when you don't respond in the way that they want you to.
Yeah.
But I also think it's just, you know, we need to realize that like just in the early church, people were coming together from literally all walks of life. And this was so new to them. And that would have been really hard to make a church community. That's why Paul had to write all these letters, because he was like, y'all get it together, please. Please stop arguing with each other for the love of Christ. Please just share the love of Christ. That is all we need to do. Because I just feel like sometimes it's like, yeah, they are not going to know all of the laws, but they still, God still loves them and wants them to know the love of Christ. And that we believe that people can only, you know, like Jesus was like, the only way to the Father is through me. But people have to get to Jesus, and that can be a very difficult thing for someone to do. But that's what Jesus desires for all of us, is to know his love. And often the first example of that is through other people. We yeah. need to model that even when it is not easy. And not just model it, live it. I feel like model means like you're kind of just giving yourself as an example, but no, it's like living that way. So.
And I think it's important that you say, like, even if this person is just being a jerk, right? If there's not like a good reason behind it, even so, we are still mm-hmm. called to be this people. Because I think, you know, sometimes it's like, well, there's got to be a reason, and then we can't find a reason, so we're like, there's no reason, forget them, right? Like, I think the hardest part is that, oh, no, even if there's not a reason, we're still called to be those people.
Yeah, we're called to be invested in other people, because God is very invested in us, and yeah. so living in a way that just continues to show and share God's investment in this world, because it says he did not, John 3:16-17, God did not send his son in the world not to condemn the world, but rather to love the world. And I'm massively paraphrasing that, but he did it not to condemn, but rather to show his love. And Jesus, like we've been going through the Gospel of John in our sermon series, so I've been reading a lot of Gospel of John, obviously, but it just, every opportunity that Jesus had, and didn't matter if it was Nicodemus, who was one of the most important Pharisees that like where it was in existence at that time, or the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan and like the low end of the totem pole, like Jesus told them that the only way to the Father was through me, that they had to be reborn in the Spirit, and they had to live a life that reflected God's love, not just for them, but for the rest of the world. And that was like, I mean, you think about saying the same thing to Nicodemus and then saying it to the Samaritan woman at the well. Like Jesus is telling us how he wants us to live. It's but we all come to it in a different way.
Yeah.
And they're both deeply changed by those encounters.
So. I think that's great and important. And I think it is, you know, the call for us today, right, is to remember who we are called to be and act that love and grace in the world.
Yeah. And that can be really hard to keep doing day after day. But I think it's, you know, we're not called to be comfortable. We're called to continually be in relationship and love other people. And that means sticking with them, even when they're like, why are you doing that?
Absolutely.
Like, tell me why.
100%. Thank you so much. This has been rich for me, and I hope it is for others. Will you pray for us?
Yes, I'll pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the fact that spring is here, that we're in this new season of life. Help us, Lord, to remember that in all that we do, we can share your love with every single person that we meet. And we do that by being invested in them. We do that by letting them know that your love is there for them, whether they have asked for it or not, that your love is always with them. Help us, Lord, to be people of your words, of your grace, and of your mercy. And that in everything we do, we can praise your name. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. I miss you. Come back.
I miss you too.